This morning is April the 6th. My first message on my new contract with you, April Fool's Day, was an anniversary date for me, starting another year of service with you. I was teasing Deb that next year it'll be 20 years that I've been counseling and discipling at Victorious Christian Living, and I fully intend to spend as much time with you as I did with them. But we're going to talk about judges and cycles in our lives. And I was over in the parsonage and found several illustrations of cycles. When my wife walked in this morning, she says, Wilmer, what are you doing? But I have a variety of cycles here. Actually, the two on this side of the church, the Trek bike and this one, are very nice, lightweight bikes. And then these two on the other side are basically junk, but they work. And there's two styles of riding. Julie and I have mountain bikes that she doesn't really like to do, and we have street bikes, which she does like to do. But they're different in them, and hopefully along the way some of those will show up. So do you have cycles or patterns of activity in your life? Do we have these cycles or patterns of activity in our life? Yeah. Marty, how long have you been helping people sort out their lives? I've been doing it almost 20 years. You've been 30 years. Have you noticed that people have patterns in their lives in those 30 years of counseling and discipling? Yeah. I think we all do. We have these cycles or patterns or activities in our life. But here's something that I don't think most of us do. Do I ever periodically stop and look at them? Do I ever sit down with people I know and love and trust and say, would you help me sort out the patterns that are in my lives, the good things, the bad things, the cycles that I get into? I mean, spring fever is a cycle. I always get lit up when it's spring, and I always get depressed when it's fall, because I don't want summer to be over, you know? It's a cycle. It's a pattern in my life, and that's one of the easy ones, but I think we all have them. So what are some of the patterns that you see in other people's lives? What do they do? You don't have to say who it is, but you can say, what patterns do you see in the people you live with, you work with? Do you see them?
I've noticed a diet cycle.
The diet cycle.
You try and eat real healthy, and then you succumb to chocolate.
The diet cycle. You try to eat healthy, and then you succumb to chocolate. They do that. Yeah, some of they do. How about, what's another one? What's another one that you see in people's lives? What are the patterns that they do? You have a breakfast cycle? Always. Yeah. Right.
People are really stressed out, and then once that's over, campus is happy again.
So the cycle of stress over exams, when the big tests are coming up, everybody's freaking out. Yeah. Crunch time. Those are cycles, aren't they? When you put things off, and all of a sudden you just, you know the deadline's there, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a pattern. Who else can think of one? Yeah.
I don't care how tired Lori is, whatever. Every night she's going to have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
She's done that forever. I said, Lori, forget the tea.
No. Cup of tea before you go to bed? I remember being in South Carolina and the lady says, would you like to have chamomile tea with me before we go to bed? I thought, what? Sure. I guess. Tea is a pattern that's become a part of my house, too. We have tea. don't have the crumpets yet. Well, there's scones, but we have tea. That's a pattern. Yeah, I'd say morning coffee is a pattern. Right? Anybody else? Diet Pepsi for some of you. Any other patterns that you see? Yes, ma'am.
I think I see a cycle of trying and failing. Trying again and failing again.
Cycle of trying and failing. Getting up and trying and failing. And yep. There is conflicts like that. Yes, sir.
And the pattern I see with women is that they have a tendency to get really real emotional. Really, the way they work out their problems is by talking rather than retreating.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real pattern of discontent in relationships where they expect the other person to act the way they are.
Let me try to summarize that for the folks online. That in dealing with males and females, there seems to be a general tendency of function that guys will oftentimes just want to go curl up in their cave and sort it out and think it out and then come talk about it. And many of the females would really like to just talk it out as they go. Yeah. And cause for conflict. Yeah. Well, there's my cycle guy. The book of Judges is really a book of cycles. And you see on his gas tank there that magical number. I'll ask you for that in a few minutes. And there is a second slide behind that one, too, because there's a bike chasing that one. I don't know how it does that or why it does that, but that's kind of cool. So, now, I put four different types of cycles up here. They're all different. They're different sizes. And each one of us will have our own unique cycle. Not everybody's cycle is going to be the same. One of the things that I used to like about my custom Harley Davidson is there was never any other one like it when I pulled up to the curb and parked. It was unique. Your cycle, your pattern will be unique from everybody else ever that God created. He never makes two of us the same. He always makes unique individuals. So your cycle will be different. Your pattern will be different. Now, it may be similar, you know, like all four of these bicycles are similar in design and function, but they're all uniquely different. So each one of us will have our unique cycle. Now, the book of Judges, try to summarize for me. This message is about a whole book. We read the whole book of Judges today. You read the whole book of Ruth today. When we read all that, summarize what is the purpose of the book of Judges? I've given you several hints already. What I texted out is this. The purpose of Judges is to show God's judgment against sin is certain. And His forgiveness of sin and restoration to relationship are just as certain as those who repent. Two things. Sin always has to be dealt with. Nobody gets away with anything ever. Every sin has to come under judgment. Every one of them. And that's a fact. But just as much as that's a fact, the fact of God's forgiveness that we just worshiped in the communion and the fact of restoration to relationship, that He restores you back to perfect relationship, is just as much a fact. And they're equal. Neither one is greater than the other one. Those are the two parts, and that's why I have two different types of cycles up here to help you remember that. Now, what do you know about the Israelite cycle of sinning, repentance, and restoration? On your bulletin, I had several things that they would do. The first thing that they would do is they would worship idols. Did you notice that when you read it? They would turn to idolatry. Do you think that's something that in our culture happens? What are some of the idols that we worship in our existing culture? Well, that one got a good response. There was four all at once. I couldn't even understand. What in it? Money.
Power.
Power. Sex.
Homes.
Control. Possessions.
Kids.
Yeah. All of those things can become idols that we worship. Now, and then that would bring God's discipline on him in the book of Judges, wouldn't it? In those times, then the Midianites or the Philistines or the Amorites or the mosquito bites or somebody would come conquer them. And they would be under discipline. And they would be uncomfortable. Some of the rest of you have uncomfortable weeks this week, and you kind of wonder in the midst of that, you know, what's going on. I have several members of my family and stuff who are looking at my new resurgence of cancer, thinking, oh, there must be some horrible sin back there that God is causing all of this in Wilmer's life, you know. And I'm thinking, no, I think I'm just going to memorize the book of Job. I think it's just more like, go ahead and play with my boy. He can take it. He'll trust me. Go ahead and dink with him a little bit. Yeah, you can mess with his body. You don't get to touch his wife, but you can dink with him a little bit, you know. You know, that's kind of the way that I'm living with. Now, and then they'd cry out to the Lord for help. And he would respond to them in a way. What would he do for them? He would send a judge, wouldn't he? Boy, I got that down low enough now. He'd send a judge to deliver them out of their problem. And he'd rescue them, and then they'd obey him for a while. And I think that's things that we do in our lives, too. When he calls us into this, and he delivers us from it, and for a period of time. And then you know what happens is that we kind of lax off on that and fall back into our old patterns. They'd fall back into idolatry. So they'd worship idols. God would bring discipline. They'd cry out to the Lord for help. He'd rescue them by leading them. They'd obey him for a while, and then they would fall back into their patterns. And one of the things I want us to look at in our lives is that we're consciously aware of the patterns that are going on in our lives and who or what it is we're worshiping, and not fall back into some of the old life patterns that we had. So how many times did they do that in Judges? What was on the gas tank? Seven. Seven different times they went through that. So there was a pattern where the Jews were looking for something different or new, and they left what God had said was best for them. That's what happens when you go into idolatry. Rather than stay focused on the Word of God, the truth of God, the relationship with the personal God, you're looking for something new, something different, something better. And you leave what's best for you. That's kind of the pattern. Now, here's the question. Are you doing something similar to Him? Are you doing something similar to that, to our Father, to God, to the Lord Jesus, to His Holy Spirit? That's the question that I was wrestling with this week as I put this together. Now, here's the key verse out of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Does that fit with the culture you and I live in?
Yes.
See, that kind of is the mantra of our society, isn't it? Yeah. In those days, there really isn't a king. Everybody's just as powerful or as equal as everybody else, and they just do, I just do, we just do whatever we see fit. Now, how would you term that passage in words for us? What would you say? How would you summarize that? There's no king, you can do whatever you want. How would you? Okay, let me give you one. How about personal independence? Personal independence. I'm a sovereign entity. I can do whatever I want. Now, I was thinking about that the other day, and I heard this country western song where the guy says, I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do. But baby, you still own me. You hear that country western song? And I thought about that, you know, in relationship with Jules, with my wife, that, you know, I can go do whatever I want, but really, I'm hers, you know, until I die. I'm hers. And then I started thinking about it in a relationship with God. I mean, Jesus Christ bought and paid for me. He owns me. Lock, stock, and barrel. He paid the price. I surrendered, exchanged my life for His. He owns me. Wherever I go, He still owns me. But He still lets me do what I want to do, say what I want to say, go where I want to go. But there is that relationship there that oftentimes I don't think most of us consider. So, judges, and what about us? We talked about other people. What about me? The cycles in my lives. What are some of your patterns? One of the patterns that I discovered this week, or rediscovered, I guess I should say, is I have a pattern of procrastination. I have a pattern of procrastination. And you know how I noticed it? With this cancer coming back and the probability at some point in time that the tumor's on my spine making my body unable to do the physical motions that it does now, the things that I thought, I'm going to do that someday, I'm doing them a lot sooner. My son and I have talked for 3 years of, in the wintertime when he's laid off from construction, let's go for a motorcycle ride, just the two of us. He and I went on motorcycle rides together, but never just the two of us. He said, we should do that. So tomorrow morning, I'm throwing my leg over the BMW. He's straddling that big black Harley of his, and we're heading south. And I will be out of state this week, and I'll be on a motorcycle with my son, just the two of us. We're gonna go ride through the Smoky Mountains. My little brother and I have talked for 12 or 15 years of riding the Blue Ridge Parkway on the East Coast, one of the most scenic, prestigious old motorcycle roads. It used to be where Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett walked along the top of the hill, and then they made it into a paved road. And motorcycle riders just absolutely love it. I've never got to go, but I will be there, Lord willing, this week. I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop procrastinating doing the things that I say I'm going to want to do. Oh, I'm going to go get reconciled with that person. I was telling Marty the other day, sit down, worked on a reconciliation list. Oh, yeah, I should get reconciled with that person. I should do that someday. It'll be a lot less days. You know? I should hug my mom harder. Longer. I should do that someday. So that'll be today. You know? I'm going to stop procrastinating and live life while it's here. That's one of the patterns that I noticed. Anybody else got anything they'd be willing to share about some of their patterns in life that God showed them this morning? Yeah.
The pattern that God pointed out to me this week is to get my value from what I do at work. If I'm not, the most important one or praised or whatever at work, I have the thing that I have to earn my keep.
Mm-hmm. That is the mindset of the world that we live in, that our value is, our worth is based on our production and performance, not our birthright. Where when you look at your citizenship, it's absolutely clear that all of your rights as a citizen are just because you're born in the United States, not because you did anything to get it. It's the same way with our spiritual lives. All of our lives, it's really like that. So, do we find ourselves following the pattern of the Jews? Worshipping idols, stuff. Getting distracted by them. You do that? I think I do. Do you think it would be a healthy thing on a regular basis to spend time in prayer and in relationship with people close to you and talk about these things in life so that you don't continue to live those patterns? It seems to me that the Jews, after two or three times, would just smarten up. You know, seven times of going into servitude and thousands of people getting killed and all. You'd think you'd just smarten up. But I bet you they were so close to it, just like you and me, that they didn't. But we could live different, I think. So, how about us? Do we look for things for support and comfort? Do we find ourselves in times of servitude to those things? I noticed when Don was talking about homes and possessions. There are certain periods of time when I don't think I own that place, but it owns me. Amen. Event cleaning might be one of those. Spring yard work might be one of those, right? The computer that's not doing the slides up there, it's supposed to be a servant to me, but I spend a lot of time trying to make that thing do what I want it to. You know, it, all these things that are supposed to make our lives easy, really, I really wonder if they do. You know, they do make it complex. How about, do you cry out for God to help, to deliver you? Just try to muddle it through in the tough weeks? Do you actually get down and, like the Hebrew children, the Israelites, to cry out for Him? He wants to deliver you. He wants to save you. You got to ask Him. Then, do you obey Him without wavering? I usually do for a short period of time until the newness wears off. And then, the tendency is to fall back into the old patterns, isn't it? And I'd like to change that in my life. Not that I can completely eradicate all the patterns, but I could get back into them less often and stay less long. And I think eventually maybe do away with them. So, I think we can agree we have those patterns in our lives. What are some positive patterns? I spent a good deal of time this morning talking about negative patterns. What are some of the positive patterns in our life? What if, just play Hewitt Packard with me for a minute, what if we were to take those five things on the front of the bulletin and begin to put those into our life as high priorities? What if I was willing to do that? Not just read my Bible, but actually think about it. I mean, yesterday morning when you finished up reading Judges with me, that just had to be one of the most bizarre old world sections of Scripture ever. First sentence is, Samuel goes to town and finds a prostitute and sleeps with her, period. I'm thinking, well, what a way to start the morning. And by the end of it, a guy's wife has been raped to death by a bunch of hoodlums all night long in town, and he cuts her up into 12 pieces and sends her all over the place. Did you read those stories? And they kill everybody. And at the end of the story, oh, you need wives. You can come steal some of our young women and we don't care. I'm thinking, that's weird. Is anybody else thinking that's weird? But there's a point to it. There's something God wants us to learn from that. The depravity of our culture is not that much different from the end of Judges. Saturday night, there probably were people who, just like that Levi's concubine, experienced that type of death in our culture. Studying the Bible, praying, doing these things would be good. This was probably the most personal, confronting question that the Lord gave me. Who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? I'm changing. You're changing. We're all changing. We're not just getting older. We're changing. We're becoming something different than we were. You don't stay the same. Everything changes. Who am I becoming? In relationship with you guys, this was the confronting question. Are you becoming a pastor or a preacher? Now, to you, that probably doesn't have a great deal of weight, but to me, it was an overwhelming millstone. Because the fact of the matter is, I've become more of a preacher than a pastor. And I was never called to be your preacher boy. I picked that title up because people nicknamed me with it. But I was never called here to preach to you. I was called here to love you and to pastor you. And quite honestly, I've been doing a lousy job at it, in my estimation. I've become a preacher boy rather than a pastor. I cried more than I want to tell you at the revelation of that. But it's a bad pattern. I was in several pastors' meetings this week, and a lot of them have turned up to be preachers. But really, as far as crying over what's going on in your marriage or what's going on with your children or what's going on with your parents or the illness or the difficulty that you're in. They don't. I still do. But I don't as much as I think I should or could. Could would be a better word. Should is not a good word. I could become something different than what I am. And I intend to do that and not procrastinate at that point. But I want you to look at your life too. Who are you becoming? Are you becoming one who really does value sharing the good news with the lost that are out there? Every day some of us will go make a few dollars. But we're talking about the eternal destiny of someone living in paradise or somebody living in persecution in hell. The eternal destiny of people. Not just a good market portfolio or a good education. We're talking about eternity. We're not playing church. This is forever and ever and ever and ever. And some of the people we work with, some of the people we know are going to suffer endlessly. And we have the good news. You could become someone who shares that more regularly than you do, couldn't you? We could change our patterns. So, am I loving God or working for Him? Is one of the things you got to think about when you're a part of the church. Why am I doing the things that I do at church? Is it because you love Him? You're deeply, passionately communicating with Him in prayer and involved in relationship of intimacy with Him? Or are you just working for Him? It's just a job. This is what I got to do. Oh, yeah. I got to witness to somebody today. Oh, I'll put a track in my pocket. No, I'll get that done for you, Lord. I'll do the job, right? I present to you that from your heart, He wants you to love Him. The result of that is, I imagine you would serve Him. Okay. Do I find myself following the Holy Spirit or the life patterns? Which one do you do most of the time? I'd like to tell you that my walk with the Holy Spirit is such I'm always dependent on Him and I don't follow the patterns of my flesh. But it would be a big lie. But the desire in changing the patterns of my life is to more personally, practically, diligently seek the Holy Spirit's involvement. Not be like Joshua and those guys last week where I just look at the evidence and make a decision without talking to God about it. But I want to talk to Him about it. What's up here? What do we want to do? Right? I want to change that pattern in my life, and I'm going to. So here's the end of it. Replacement therapy, that's part of my stem cell replacement therapy. I thought that'd be a cool slide. Replacement theory, what about us? Can we change the cycles in our lives? Is that possible? Are you free to change? Really, the only thing that stops you is you. God won't let anything stop you from doing it. The only thing that stops you is you being willing. It's what my family calls stubborn bullheaded. Your family probably calls it something different, but probably similar. What are some of the new patterns that we can begin? Anybody got one that they're going to do? They'd share as a word of encouragement. There's only two more lines and we're done. Anything you think of you want to do? Sometimes if you verbalize those things, then you kind of have to do something with it because I said it out loud. I was going to do it. I didn't just think it. You know what I mean?
The reason I brought up the fear thing is because I wanted to stay with the fear of the Lord instead of being afraid of what could happen or what will happen or how will it work out.
Yep. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of anything else is a loss. So, will we entrust ourselves to following the pattern of Jesus and the Holy Spirit? That's really the bottom line question. That would be the pattern, the cycle I would encourage you to get into. Not just the bracelets like they do, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, not just trying to figure out what he would do, but relating with him, relating with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you're actually anticipating and expecting a response from them in the pattern that you're in. And when you find you're stuck in a pattern, that you would humble yourself, you would get down like the Israelites did, cry out, and he will send a deliverer. He will send a judge. He will send somebody to help you through that. He may even let me do that or one of the rest of the folks around us help you with that. So, think about these cycles, these patterns. And as we get in, you know, Debbie and I are even talking about the pattern of maybe riding these bicycles to the office would be a new pattern rather than taking fossil fuel, actually burning a couple calories. It's pretty easy from our house. You can coast almost. It's just coming home that you got to go uphill.